each and every one of you that are in the audience this morning. Some of you are visitors, and we appreciate so much your coming and being with us, and hope that this will not be the last time that you will do so, but that you will come back and be with us at each and every opportunity that you might have. Certainly, our hearts and our prayers have been going out to those that have been sick, and they continue to do so on behalf of those that are still sick and overcoming various types of physical ailments. And we even pray for those that are having to care for those that are in distress, because sometimes it is those that are well and are caring for those that are sick that truly come under a lot of physical as well as mental strain as well. So we certainly need to keep them in our prayers also. Again, as always, I urge you to take your Bible, pen, paper, whatever that will be of benefit to you in the study of God's Word. And what I'd like for us in our lesson this morning is to look at the question of why does God not hear sinners? Really, the basis for this question is found over in John chapter 9. It is in verse 31 that the statement is made, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." So, with this statement, it would obviously be that a question would come from it. Why? Why does God not hear sinners? Well, really, we find that actually the answer is also to be found in this very same verse. He says in the latter part of verse 31, "But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." So we see that God does not hear sinners because they do not worship him and they do not do his will. I think it would do well for us to consider, what does it mean to hear? We know that God heareth not sinners. So what does it mean to hear? You know, normally when we use that word, we're talking about to be endowed with the faculty or the ability of hearing. That's normally the way we use the word. In other words, we normally say that if a person is hearing, he's not deaf. But what we find here in John 9 and verse 31, in reference to God hearing, we find that Thayer describes the word as to yield to hear and obey. So in regards to the prayer that John 9:31 says God does not hear, we find then that we're seeing that what he means by hearing is that God is under no obligation to answer the prayer of a sinner. God is not deaf. He hears in the sense of having that ability to hear. But what we're seeing is that God is not under obligation to answer the prayer. And God does not yield to the sinner who prays. Nor does God hear in this order that he is under obligation to obey the requirements or the things of which that the sinner is praying. So it's in this way that God heareth not sinners. And I think it's important that we understand this, because so much of what many people today that we come in contact with, in terms of salvation, they believe that all they have to do is to believe in Christ. They're saved the moment they believe. And then if they desire, they can pray what the religious world has come to know as the sinner's prayer. So this is why it is important that we understand John 9:31 and understand in what sense that it is that God does not hear sinners. So, understanding then that God is not obligated to answer the sinner's prayer, then why really should God hear a sinner's prayer? You know, God has already shown his love for the sinner. He gave his son to die. We know in passages like John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know from Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that God has demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we know in 1 John 4 and verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. So we see then that knowing what God has already done in behalf of the sinner, then why should God hear a sinner's prayer when his love toward them has already been manifested? It's already been shown. What is it that makes a sinner? You know, a sinner, we know, is one who transgresses the law of God, because that's what sin is. We know from 1 John 3 and verse 4 that whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So we know what sin is. Now when we see in 1 John 3 and verse 8, a person that committeth sin is of the devil. So therefore, if the transgression of the law is sin, then a person who transgresses the law, a person who sins, is then a sinner. And yet, we see that God sent Christ to take away sin, as we read in 1 John 3 and in verse 5. So, what is it that makes a sinner? Well, a sinner is not only one that transgresses the law of God, but he is the one that needs to understand he is in the position now to where he needs to demonstrate his love to God. That's what all of us was. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. And knowing that we have all sinned, that God has done all of these things in manifesting his love toward us, that Jesus himself willingly submitted to the will of the Father to make that plan for salvation of our sins available to us, then we need to understand it's our turn. It's our turn to demonstrate love. And so we see then, not only is it our turn to demonstrate love to our God, the question is, how do we do that? Well, first of all, we find in John 14 and verse 15, we keep his commandments. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. How do we show love to God? We keep his word. We notice in John chapter 15 and verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And that, as we said, is through the keeping of the word, which is where the commandments are contained. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, he said, more than that, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. And then we find in John 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. So it's now our turn to demonstrate love to God. He manifested his love in that he sent his Son. Jesus came while we were yet sinners and died for us. Now we return that love to God through the keeping of his commandments, through the hearing, believing, and obeying of his word. But when you think about this, what is the sinner's attitude? What is the sinner's reaction toward God's word and the commandments that he needs to be engaged in to show his love for God? Well, Jesus says that a sinner is one who may hear but does not do. It's in Matthew 7 and verse 26 that Jesus said, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So we see what Jesus says about such a person who will not keep the commandments of God. He is foolish. Jesus says that a sinner that does not love him because they do not do the things that he says, because that's where the proof of love is. In John chapter 14 and verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So we see then the attitude, the reaction, more times than not, that results from the majority of people who have not obeyed the gospel. And why? What happens when we sin? Well, we become separated from God. What happens when we sin is our sin causes God to hide his face from us. What happens when we sin? Our sin causes God to not hear. Now, how do we know all of this? We know it because of what's stated in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so he will not hear. Again, as we said a moment ago, it's not that God is deaf. It's just to the fact that we are realizing that we're in a position, because of being a sinner, that God is under no obligation whatsoever to answer or to hear our prayers in the sense of obeying the things that we ask of him. And yet, realizing all of this, why should anyone remain a sinner when God has provided the means for the forgiveness of our sins, the means of our redemption? Why should anyone remain a sinner? In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, it says, in whom, and the whom here refers to Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. What reason is there for anyone to be in sin? We know that God's grace is for everyone. It's for all. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So God's grace is to everyone. No one's the exception. We know that God wants, as stated in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And we know that, as Peter stated in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, also when you think about answering this question of why does God not hear sinners, also in answering this question, we must not forget the nature of God. That should help us to see why God does not hear sinners. We need to understand that, as stated in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all of his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. We see the nature of God. Let's look at another verse in Job chapter 34 and verse 10. Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness, and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. Do we not see God's nature? Look at Psalms 92 and verse 15. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. James said in James 1 and verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Again, insight into the nature of God. And then in 1 John 1 and verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. When you think about these verses, you know, and you look at the nature of God, is there any wonder as to why that God will not hear sinners? Surely they ought not to be. Not only that, indeed, why should God hear the sinner? God has made every provision for his sins to be forgiven, and yet they still remain in sin. In Psalms 34 and verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Micah stated in Micah chapter 3 and verse 4, then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, because they have been evil in their deeds. In Jeremiah chapter 7, we read in verse 24, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. In Jeremiah 11 and verse 8, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all of the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 23, but they did not obey nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And one more in Jeremiah 25 and verse 4. And the Lord has sent to you all of his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. So think about this as we close our lesson. How can anyone who does not let his ear hear what God says expect God to hear him? Why should God obey a sinner when a sinner does not obey him? So it is, as the young man who was healed in John 9, in trying to give explanation of the one who had healed him, he says, this man, though we may not know who he is, yet we know that God does not hear sinners. Jesus certainly was not a sinner. And this man, though he was uninspired, was a man who truly made a truthful statement when he said, for we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. The question is for each and every one of us, do we hear? Do we listen? Not that we're deaf, but do we hear and do we listen in the sense of hearing and listening to God's word with the intention of submitting, of obeying, of demonstrating our love for God? Because his love has already been demonstrated. His grace has already been shown. Now it's our turn. And there's no reason for us to remain a sinner. If you're here this morning and you have not done what God's word says, if you've not heard his word, but Jesus, in all of the things that he said, unless you hear and obey, we cannot be saved. So faith is absolutely essential. Without it, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11, verse 6. And we know how that faith comes. It comes by the hearing and the hearing of God's word, Romans 10, verse 17. How well do we hear? Is it with the intention of doing? If it is, then we'll be willing to repent of our sins. But Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. One of the things that Peter told him on the day of Pentecost to do was repent. So we must turn from the very thing that causes us to be a sinner. The transgression of God's law, we must turn from those transgressions. Repent. With our mouth, confess that Christ is the Son of God, as Romans 10, 9 and 10 teaches, that's what confession is. It's done with the mouth. But it's a confession that we're going to let Jesus be Lord. And that word Lord means ruler. We're going to let him rule. It's no longer my will, but his will. And then we're going to be buried with him in baptism. So that's where we come in contact with the blood that we observed just a moment ago. When we eat of his flesh and we drink of his blood, that was what was broken. That was what was shed on the cross. And it came from a sinless Lamb of God, the Son of God, who did no sin. The only blood that God was willing to accept, that through him we can have forgiveness. We can have our sins washed away in the blood of Christ. God will hear our prayers. We can call upon him as our Father who art in heaven. What a wonderful privilege that is, to be able to do so. But we can't do that as long as there is sin in our lives. Sin causes him not to hear. Today, if you're here and you want God to hear you, obey him. If you're here and you've obeyed that gospel, but yet there's sin in your life again, you've separated yourself from God, because that's the nature of sin. It separates us. We need to repent of our sins, confess our faults one to another, that we may pray one for the other, that our sins might be forgiven. If you're subject and we can assist you to either of these things, please let it be known by coming to the front while together we stand beside.